Hello and welcome back to the One Shot Podcast, the cricket podcast of the Sports Gazette. We're closing in now to the third test match between India and England in this what's expected to be a great series. It's already been great, but it's expected, I know. I mean, I think it's going to be probably one of the best series that we end up seeing. Who knows? Maybe it'll just end up being really bad from now on, but we'll see. We'll see how that goes. As usual, I've got Toby and Michael with me. Toby, how have you been?
Yeah, good. Yeah. Looking forward to the next test after a short break. Some exciting stuff.
Yeah, getting right into it. And Michael, how about you? Excited for this?
Yeah. I'm very, very excited for the third test. I've enjoyed it so far, and hopefully it lives up to how good the first two tests have been.
Right. So the last couple of episodes have been primarily about the India versus England series. We're going to be coming up with a little different stuff going forward as well. We will speak about some of the other things that are going on in the world of cricket today. But again, the focus is on this very, very big series. So guys, let's get right into it. Both teams, big players out, key players, I should say, who would have, you know, been a big part of the series out with India. Some of the big names have been missing. And now we have confirmation that Virat Kohli is definitely not going to be part of the rest of the series. KL Rahul once again missing out. And we'll get into this Indian team maybe later, because there's so much to talk about there with combinations and so many different things. But let's go to England first, because I know it looks like there's a selection is probably a bit more straightforward. Jack Leach has been ruled out. He wasn't part of the last game as well. So yeah, he's not going to be there going forward. I don't think, of course it's a loss. But do you think, Toby, it's a really, really big loss? Like, because I think England seemed to manage pretty well in the last game.
Yeah, I mean, I think it is a big loss, just because I think that at some point during the series, there'll be a day or a couple of days where England needs someone metronomic. And we have Jimmy Anderson, who is unbelievable at that and is known for being so miserly with his runs, and he doesn't give anything away. But he can't bowl all day. Jack Leach can. He has that ability. He's done it in India before. And I think at some point that could be crucial. And with three young spinners, Joe Root or even Dan Lawrence, I mean, who'd have thought at the beginning of the series, Dan Lawrence wasn't even in the squad, is now your fourth or fifth option as a spin bowler. And you've not got Jack Leach in there. He's now ahead of Jack Leach in the pecking order. Absolutely crazy to even consider that before the series. And I think at some point, England might just lose it for a short period. And I think Stokes is very, very good and might be able to troubleshoot and get around it. But I think having Jack Leach always gives me that bit more confidence when you know. And I'll be interested to see if they do call anyone up, just because at the moment, as I said, yeah, Joe Root and Dan Lawrence are your sort of fourth spin bowlers on the tour, which feels slightly underwhelming. But I think, yeah, it's a tough loss. And I think it's still really exciting because those three spinners did perform so well and have performed so well in the last couple matches. So I don't think England will be looking at this as a massive loss. Obviously, Stokes loves Jack Leach and knows how good a player he is. But I think they'll just be looking for this as an opportunity to see how these young guys can do for the final three games and what will have been four matches in a row without your number one spinner. And it gives one of them the opportunity to maybe throw their hat into the ring as England's number one spin bowler going forward. I mean, Jack Leach, in theory, could never play for England again, which seems crazy. And I'd be very surprised if that is the case. But if Tom Hartley goes on and gets, you know, 30 wickets in the series and bowls brilliantly, or Shahid Bashir, who bowled really, really nicely in that first match, goes on and takes a load of wickets, they might be throwing their name forward. And if they have a good start to the county championship and Jack Leach doesn't, then I think England wouldn't be against continuing with the younger spinner, particularly as Tom Hartley can bat, which I think is absolutely crucial.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. You know, it's a big opportunity, whatever it is. It's, of course, it's a big loss not having the spinner who was supposed to be your top, you know, your number one spinner in the series, like you rightly mentioned, Toby. But yeah, like you also say that it's a big opportunity for the rest of the guys to put their hands up and, you know, just really stamp their place or kind of secure their place in this team going forward. Michael, among these three guys, all three really young, There's so much inexperience there, but so far, we've seen the England spinners outperform the Indian spinners. So with Leach gone, with Hartley, Bashir, and Rehan Ahmed in the team and expected now to play the remainder of the series, who do you think is going to be the standout spinner among these guys?
Well, I think Tom Hartley's probably been the pick of the bunch so far in the series. Like the seventh in the first test, of course, can't forget about that. I'm kind of waiting for Rehan Ahmed to have a really standout game. I mean, yeah, he got a fifer against Pakistan on his debut. He's bowled really, consistently pretty well. And he suits that kind of Bazball style of bowling where he'll give away runs, but he'll also pick up wickets. So yeah, that's who I'm putting my faith in Rehan Ahmed. I think he's the future for England. He just offers something a bit different. Shoaib Bashir looks promising as well. I mean, the fact that Jack Leach has been injured and is ruled out of the series now, and the selectors haven't called anyone in to replace him, I think that definitely shows that they'll go with two seamers and Bashir will drop out in this test. Because just having Joe Root, I mean, and the three spinners in the squad. Yes, Dan Lawrence is an option. I don't know if he's a realistic option though, Toby. Sorry to shatter your dreams, but I think they would have brought someone in if they weren't going to play two seamers, if you know what I mean. Because if their plan was to play four spinners, they would have wanted someone in case of injury, you know.
I think the one thing to say about that as well, or instead of, is Rehan Ahmed had some visa issues as well. He went to Dubai or Abu Dhabi or somewhere with the team for a few days, and yeah, on return, he was held at the airport. He's got a temporary visa at the moment, but it will be interesting to see. Maybe if that comes into it as well, maybe they'll if he doesn't get a visa somehow, which would be absolutely crazy. I mean, the Indian Border Patrol and Border Force seemingly don't want to give England any sort of chance in the test matches. Maybe that's they're being a bit sneaky there. Who knows? But yeah, I mean, after Shoaib Bashir had the same thing. Yeah, I do think maybe only playing three spinners, including Root, could be an option as well. And I wouldn't be surprised maybe if someone does get a call up at some point, maybe for the final test. Or I'm not sure if the Lions are still out there. I feel like they might have gone home already, but they might fly someone over, or the IL T20 is going on, which I'm sure Liam Dawson or Will Jacks are playing him. So it's not too far as well if they need to fly someone out sort of short notice or shortish notice.
I think Will Jacks would be interesting as like a late call up. But yeah, 100% agree. And yeah, Indian Border Control doing their best to keep us out of this test.
No, I mean, I'm gonna chip in there with this entire visa thing as well. It's a lot of neglect on the part of the ECB as well, right? I mean, sending a guy, he's gone to Abu Dhabi, and then before he's coming back, Rehan Ahmed gets back on a single entry visa, which had apparently was issued during when he was a standby for the World Cup. I think that was the hold up this time. And the visa had expired when he came back to India. With the rest of the team a couple of days ago. So that's maybe a topic for another day on whose neglect, I mean, it was neglect on whose part or who missed out there. But yeah, this with someone like a Virat Kohli missing out, we did have a little bit of Ashwin versus Bairstow war of words the last game. But this series has missed a lot of that spice and drama with Virat Kohli's absence and these visa issues. It's just too unfortunate, whoever's mistake as it is, too unfortunate. But yeah, it has been the biggest story of the series so far. Hopefully, no more visa issues for anyone, not Rehan Ahmed, not Shoaib Bashir, no one. And if England do call in a replacement like we're discussing, hopefully that player also doesn't have any visa issues, we'll hope.
That would be hilarious, I feel like, if yeah, Will Jacks gets called up in between the third and fourth test match, say, because Shoaib Bashir goes down injured and his visa gets delayed again and England are down to just two spinners.
Not sure Will Jacks has got any Pakistani blood though, Lena. I think that's the
No, probably
reason.
not.
I mean, unless you never know. But I think it does look like Rehan Ahmed's in line to play. So I think we will see him play in the third test.
Yeah, he is. So Rehan Ahmed is in India. Of course, there was a little bit of a hold up at the airport once he landed, but he was issued a temporary visa right away. And the England team have said that they're confident that his official paperwork for the proper visa will also come through in the next 24 hours before the start of the test match on Thursday morning. So yeah, that's for all of the officials to figure out. But as long as he's there, whatever visa he's got, we're happy.
What do you think would happen if it wasn't issued and he had sort of a 1 week visa that ended halfway through the series? He gets deported
I mean,
after a
that'll be
few days. Do you reckon that
hilarious.
concussion protocol comes in? That would be
And that
awesome.
would, if something like that ever happened, it would be such a bad look for everyone involved. India, England, just everyone involved. It would be such shambles if something like that happened. But we're gonna pray that we don't see any of that madness. Moving back to cricket, I should say. Guys, is the team selection then really straightforward for England? For this test match at least? Or are y'all expecting any changes? Does Jimmy sit again? He showed in the last game that how crucial he is. It doesn't matter whether you're playing on these slow, spin-friendly wickets, but Jimmy Anderson still showed why he is who he is, and he is closing in on another big milestone. And yeah, it's always tempting to play him, right? Even though he's 41 years old. Toby, let me start with you on this. Any changes for the England team? Jimmy continues to keep his side in the 11.
I would be personally probably play the same 11 on the conditions the pitch is kind of similar. I think Mark Wood comes in, if he comes in, would be for a spinner for me rather than for Jimmy. I think Jimmy has bowled so well, knows the conditions so well. He is an awesome, considering he's 41, he is an awesome athlete. I mean, England's over 40 side going to the sort of over 40 World Cup in a few days. And in theory, Jimmy Anderson, the current Test cricketer, could play in that, which seems crazy, but yeah, I mean, I think he has to play, and yeah, I think Wood comes in for Bashir, I think, as Michael mentions, if that's what they're going to be looking for. They want an extra seamer, but I think Jimmy has to be in there above Wood to start with.
Michael, what do you think? Jimmy, an absolute non-negotiable.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, if he was going to stay perfectly fit, we'd play him in every match, but he's 41. You've got to be realistic about these things, you know. But he looked sharp in the last test, and if he manages overs, I think they should definitely play him. And yeah, bring Mark Wood in to kind of help him out. Ollie Pope hinted at it in an interview. I think it was today he did the interview. It's kind of saying they're probably going to go with the gist was they're probably going to go with two seamers. So yeah, I think we'll just see Mark Wood come in for Bashir. Which is unfortunate for Bashir because he bowled really well, but I'm sure we'll see him in the fourth or fifth test, especially with our, lack of spin depth for the moment. And yeah, that would be it really. I mean, that's a pretty simple swap for England to make.
Yeah, it is. It is. Of course, even though there are going to be swaps, so there probably won't be. We don't know. But even if there will be, it'll just be, just one or two here and there. Nothing too much with England as it will be for India. But this test match, guys, before we get to this Indian team as well, we're probably going to see two major milestones achieved in this test match, right? With two legends of the sport, Jimmy Anderson, 5 wickets away now from 700 test wickets, and Ravichandran Ashwin just 1 wicket away from 500 test wickets. He almost got that wicket in the previous game when he got Tom Hartley and a review. He was then denied of a review and things like that, where he was stranded on 499 for just 8-10 more days. But yeah, it's Ravichandran Ashwin, and we're pretty sure that he's going to get the 500th test wicket in this match. So yeah, Michael, two legends of the game. Do you think Jimmy can get there before Ashwin? Is it are they going to be thinking of a race there?
I think we'll see Ashwin get there first. It'll be, I mean, I don't think Jimmy's nailed on to get there. You know, he doesn't take the amount of wickets he used to. I mean, he could do it in the third test. I hope he does. It's a crazy milestone. He'll definitely get there before he retires. And yeah, like you said, two legends, definitely something to look out for in this test. Not too much to add to that, really. It's just an amazing stat for both of them.
I think that there's only one scenario where, or maybe two scenarios where Anderson could feasibly get there before Ashwin. The first one being England bowl first, Jimmy takes Pfeiffer, obviously fairly obvious. Even that's really unlikely. I think arguably more likely, England bowl first, Jimmy gets a couple, India bowl, skittle England with Bumrah taking load of wickets and Ashwin maybe not even getting a bowl. And then Jimmy goes on and gets another couple wickets in the third innings. I think that's arguably more likely just because I can't see Jimmy. I think if Jim, I mean, it's possible Jimmy getting a fiver, but I think it's more likely he's going to get, two or three wickets and then two or three wickets rather than sort of his sort of classic English spells where he takes five for six for nothing. So I think, yeah, maybe very unlikely that Jimmy gets there before Ashwin.
I mean, Toby, what you mentioned there with the fifers, that wouldn't that make for such an incredible script for a test match in India? I'd love to see that happen sometime, but yeah, maybe another day. Coming to India, like we said with England selection, not too many issues there, but with India, KL Rahul's definitely missing this. Ravindra Jadeja has been named in the squad for the third test match and for the remainder of the series, of course, but he's still not 100% certainty for this third test. We'll only know probably on the day of the game, unless India decide to announce their 11 the night before or something like that. But he is expected to play Jadeja, and if he will be fit on the day of the game, then he's an absolute certainty to feature in the 11. There were doubts around Bumrah as well. Whether he plays or no, they decided to rest him for this game. But a couple of days ago, they decided, no, we want him for this game. And to an extent, Toby, you think that shows that India is kind of more under pressure in this game because, they feel like, let's not rest Bumrah right now. Let's play him for a third consecutive game and really, stamp our authority on the series. Or do you think England has more pressure?
I think India almost always have more pressure when playing in India. I think the one benefit you gain from being on tour is the fact that the media is so sort of distant from the players. I mean, in an Ashes series in England, the media, that's all the media is talking about. All the players will hear, all the radio will be, if you ever turn on, TMS or Five Live, whatever it might be. It's always going to be on the Ashes, on the cricket, on England versus India, whatever it might be. And I can imagine it's like that, but tenfold, hundredfold when you're in India and India are playing. So I think they're probably used to it as well, more so. But I think there's a lot of pressure on this India side, and yeah, the fact that they're possibly going to have to play Bumrah again. Iyer's been dropped after just two games, and I understand he's not had a great sort of spell in Test cricket since he debuted, but yeah, I think it kind of shows that they're still thinking about it a lot more and trying to work out. They obviously want Jadeja back. Kohli's unavailable. KL Rahul is definitely unavailable. These are some big names who I think if they're in the squad would be a lot more settled, just because we've got four. They've got four or five locks in their 11, and not having those guys means you've got debutants coming in. I mean, what Paddy Cowell's been called up to the squad for what I think would be his debut. And yeah, I think there's a lot more going on, it seems, in the India squad. Whereas, yeah, when you ask us about our England 11, it's we know the 12. It's just who's going to get dropped. It depends on the pitch. It's a lot more settled, it feels like. And I think some of that is Bazball and the way that McCullum Stokes plays. Everything is so much more settled. I remember doing a podcast about this time last year, I think it was, for the England New Zealand series in New Zealand. And I remember thinking they'll pick, it was a two match series, and I said they'll probably pick, the same 11 for both series, and they did, because both matches, sorry, because that's what they do. In England teams in the past, they probably would have picked, a different seam attack, or they would have rotated someone or whatever. But McCullum and Stokes just pick the best 11 every game. They don't really think about rest and rotation as much. They're not really influenced by the media as much as England teams in the past. I mean, last time England were in India, they didn't play their strongest 11 once. It didn't feel like they had people flying home, coming back out. Jonny Bairstow played two matches in Sri Lanka, then flew home for 2 weeks for the first two games against India, and then flew back and was horribly out of nick by the time he finally got back to India. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's a lot more calm in the England camp from the outside, it seems. And yeah, I think India are slightly flustered, I think, is probably the best option. Best way to say it, sorry.
Yeah, I think it is fair to say that because, and this England team, like you say, they do, given that their situation, they don't have so many big names missing out. Luckily for them, that they are a bit more comfortable right now. And there is a bit more calm, like you said, in the dressing room. That's what it seems like. You know, with India, of course, KL missing out, Virat Kohli missing out, Ravindra Jadeja's fitness is a bit of an issue. And now Shreyas Iyer missing out. I mean, in earlier, it was said that Iyer's back problems had come back, and that's why he was not going to play the third test at least. And then when India named their squad for the rest of the tournament, the rest of the series, that is the third, fourth, and fifth tests, Shreyas Iyer was missing out from everything. And then there were talks that he's probably been dropped. But, you know, Shreyas Iyer was seen practicing today in Mumbai. He was seen training with his trainer. And which shows that the injury is not too bad. I mean, it's not a really bad injury that has ruled him out for the entirety of the series. So there is probably, he has probably been dropped given his poor run of form. But Michael, another guy who's had a poor run of form so far in the series is the captain himself. And with so many big names in the batting order, especially missing out, do you think the onus is very, very much on Rohit Sharma to come good, starting with this third test?
100%. Yeah, I think there's definitely a lot of pressure on him. He only got, I think it was about 27 runs in the last test between his two innings, which is it's not good enough for the captain. I mean, I think it's kind of his form at the moment is supporting the claims that he's more of a ODI batsman rather than a test batsman. Yeah, I think he just doesn't really suit the style that you need. I mean, if you compare the form of Jaiswal, it's just totally different. He looks far more composed and just has so much more quality opening the batting. And yeah, and with Shreyas Iyer coming out, the pressure really is on that top three, I think. Jaiswal, Sharma, Shubman Gill. Because below that in the order, I mean, will Pattedar be playing? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think he will because he probably might retain his place because KL's not coming back, Virat's not coming back. We don't know. I mean, you know, we were discussing this with Toby earlier as well that will India then want to play, just swap Iyer for Jadeja directly and keep the rest of the team as it is? And then in that case, Pattedar plays. But what that does is then you either play KS Bharat at five or you play Ravindra Jadeja at five with Bharat, Akshar, Ashwin, and the rest coming in whatever order. And I think that's too high for either. So maybe this could be the game to give Sarfaraz Khan a chance. Of course, there's going to be pressure. He'll be making his debut, but the guy's been in form for 2 years now. I mean, he deserves this opportunity and he is likely to feature in the team. Maybe just give him that chance and just see how it goes. And like we were discussing, the onus on Rohit Sharma along with Shubman Gill as the next most experienced batter in this lineup. And that's crazy to think because even he's still so young. But yeah, and then that makes Shubman Gill the next most experienced batter in this team. Let them take on the burden of run making. Even while I'm saying that, I am worried for this Indian batting lineup.
That is absolutely crazy. Shubman Gill, who one test match ago was the next man out, is the second most experienced player in the side. Oh
That's
my God.
wild.
That is, yeah, I mean, I've no clue. I mean, I think, yeah, I think you're right there. They have to start not stacking the batting lineup, but yeah, I mean, I was the one who suggested Jadeja maybe in straight in for Iyer, but yeah, I think you do need another frontline batter. Probably, yeah. Sarfraz Khan, as you mentioned. This what I would say though is, 2 years in form, that's the perfect time for him to fall out of form, I'd say. Anyone who's been informed for 2 years surely can't keep that going for much longer. But yeah, I mean, and yeah, they could in theory play four spinners, which would be, you know, possibly polar opposite from England. And if they do, and England pick just the two spinners, I think I know which set team would probably have made the correct selection, and I can't imagine it would be England.
Michael, do you think it's a good idea for India to just swap in Jadeja for Kuldeep?
I mean,
And
yeah, I'm just trying to work out this lineup. So it'd be Jaiswal Rohit opening, Shubman Gill in at three, four. So is it Safaraz Khan? Is it Pattudar? Or four and five, Pattudar, Safaraz Khan, and then Bharat at six, and then what? 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 5 bowlers, including Jadeja, Axar, Ashwin, Bumrah, and another seamer.
Or just play Kuldeep and let Bumrah be the lone spinner. But then, if they want to do that, then I'm sure they'll make pretty certain that this is an absolute rank turner from day one, because then that's the only chance they have.
I mean, it's like polar opposite to England, isn't it? Like, if you told us at the start of the series that India would be, you know, struggling to field a solid batting lineup, and England are, you know, just making one change because they can, kind of thing. Like, it's a nice position to be in as an England fan. And yeah, India, like I said in the last preview for the second test, India they're in trouble with the as soon as a couple of big players, get injured. I mean, the same as any team in the world, I guess, but they just look a lot weaker, I think.
So do we think this really is England's big chance to get a 2-1 lead in this series? And that would be huge, given that we
Yeah.
know the problems that this Indian team is facing. Michael, let me start with you on this. Do you think the England team is feeling the pressure there that, okay, this, are they thinking that we won't have a better opportunity than this to make it 2-1?
I mean, potentially, yeah, but I don't think that's the way they think now under, you know, Brendan McCullum and Stokes. I think they'll just approach every game in the same way.
That's fair.
Yeah, but I think it is the best chance. I think if we go 2-1 up now, what a position that is to be in. And that will be with they'll need to rest Bumrah at some point, surely, and he's the danger man. You know, Jadeja's injury issues. I think, yeah, if India can, if England can win this third test, they're in a seriously strong position to win the test match. But yeah, like I said, that's not how Stokes and McCullum will be thinking, I imagine.
Yeah, that's fair. And we have been hearing that the wicket is expected to be a slow turner, but there was a lot of grass until I think this morning on the wicket. But like Ollie Pope said, and I think he's absolutely right, that while there is grass on this wicket, we're not going to be sure, or we're not going to make too many assumptions until the Indian team has seen this wicket. And then they decide whether they want to completely shave off the grass or they want to go with a proper turner from day one and then play their four spinners, or what they want to do. And yeah, I think that's right, because Rajkot has traditionally been an absolute flat track, very, very good for run scoring. I mean, we've seen 400 plus 400 plus innings in ODI cricket as well on this pitch and things like that. So it's been an absolute flat track in the past. But yeah, and signs are probably, it's just looking like right now that we could see a really slow turner. But yeah, things change a lot even the day before the test and on the morning. So we'll see how both teams turn up in the morning, or the pitch turns up, and we'll take it from there. Guys, I know nothing has happened since we made our predictions the last time, but does anyone want to change any predictions at all for the rest of the series?
Well, I think mine and possibly all of our picks for Jack Leach to be leading wicket taker is fallen out
I don't
far
remember
favor.
predicting that. Thank you very much. Don't involve me in that.
Well, mine are Ayush's then anyway. My Shubman Gill one's looking a little bit better, I'll say. I was a bit worried after the first three innings of the series, but yeah, I mean, Bumrah's looking good for you though, Michael, isn't he? As a leading.
Yeah, I'm very happy. Quietly very happy with that prediction. And yeah, if Jadeja makes him come back and plays the last three tests, could be player of the series, you never know. And yeah, I think Zach Crawley, I think he's due a big innings. He looks like he's kind of cooking. So yeah, I'm quite happy. I mean, Rehan Ahmed most wickets. Could happen. Could happen, to be fair. I mean,
He's still in
but
there.
England,
Yeah.
yeah, if he plays every test, there's, could happen. I'm quite happy with my predictions.
I mean, Ravindra Jadeja is my only hope for any of my predictions to go right as it stands, because I did predict Rohit Sharma to be India's leading run scorer when I changed it from Virat Kohli. And if he doesn't come good, I don't think that that prediction is going to be anywhere close to being fulfilled. So we'll see. I will hope that Rohit Sharma comes good, not
You
just for
also
my
went
sake.
for Joe Root as England's highest run scorer as well. I think, yeah, Toby did as well. So,
That's looking bad.
yeah, not great, guys. Not great.
Yeah, Joe Root's also been a really curious case this series, but he's Joe Root after all. We'll see if,
It's true.
he is expected to come good, and he probably will come good at some point in the series when England need him the most. So, I mean, his bowling's been great, so it's not like he's not been contributing at all. Right, we'll see, guys, how this works out with India and England. A big test match coming up. Whoever manages to take lead in this after the end of this test match is going to be feeling really, really good about the series. Of course, even if it's 2-1 to either team, the competitiveness that we've seen in both matches so far, it will be far from done. But yeah, 2-1 lead going into the final two matches, you should be feeling good about yourself. So we'll see how that goes. We will bring you a lot from that test match at the end of that test as well. But moving on from India, England for the moment, Australia, West Indies. Now, after that brilliant win for West Indies in that test match at the Gabba, they went on a 5-match losing streak in the limited overs. They lost all the ODIs, the 3 ODIs, and the 2 T20s to lose the series, but they finally got a win today. And one of their T20 legends, Andre Russell, came to the fore today, scoring 71 off just 29 as West Indies put on 220 runs against Australia and managed to win the game by 30 odd runs at the end. But Australia still took the series. Well, the biggest talking point, I guess, of today of the series was that David Warner, while we knew he was saying goodbye to all forms of the game gradually, he confirmed today in the post-match presentation ceremony that this was his last home game, home international game, I should say. He just has two more series to go in his international career. He's going to head down to New Zealand for a short T20 series before playing in the T20 World Cup in July for Australia. And that's going to be that. Toby, let me come to you on this first tribute to David Warner. How legendary has his career been? Of course, we'll talk more about it as he gets closer to the end of his, officially the end of his career, but is the last time he's played at home. One of the most impactful players of this generation, I would say.
Yeah, as much as it pains me to say, yeah, he has been an absolute stalwart of this Aussie team. He's been absolutely world class and arguably revolutionised Test cricket a bit. I mean, he definitely showed the way for Bazball, averaging 45 in Test cricket, 45 in ODIs, 33 in T20s at a 140 strike rate. Not many batters in the history of Test cricket, or sorry, history of cricket generally, will have stats that rival David Warner's in any way. He obviously there's one big area that maybe mars his career back in sort of 2018. But other than that, I mean, I think he's been absolutely fantastic. And to think that, yeah, you look back at when he first came into that test side and he basically was being picked off the back of his white ball form, and he's revolutionized it. And arguably by the end of his career, he maybe wasn't considered to be one of the greatest batters right now. He had a very, very good World Cup though, didn't he? You look at the ODI World Cup last year, he was fantastic, one of the best batters in the tournament. And yeah, now going into the T20 World Cup, I'm sure he'll be hoping to try and carry Australia to the final and to another victory to win on what I'm sure he'd love to be his last ever international medal.
And yeah, talking about that T20 World Cup, There's still so much riding for David Warner as well, right? Because they've won the World Test Championship, they won the ODI World Cup. Australia, when they go for the T20 World Cup to the Caribbean and the United States later this year, they're looking to become the first men's team to hold all three ICC trophies simultaneously. And I'm sure they're aware of that and they're going to really go hard at it. And David Warner is going to be key to that. He is, I mean, given the form that he was, and David Warner did, by the way, earn the Player of the Series trophy for this T20 series and what was his last series at home. So he is the man in form as well. And he's going to be huge to Australia's chances of winning the T20 World Cup. Michael, I know we'll talk a lot more about the T20 World Cup as it gets closer, but just quickly, do you think David Warner is going to be able to help Australia, beat ODI World Cup champions, T20 World Cup champions, and Test champions all at the same time? And the men's team also won the Under-19 World Cup a couple of days ago.
I saw that. I'm not gonna predict the T20 World Cup, like what is it, like 4 months before it actually
Four
kicks
months,
off.
yeah.
That would be a
Early
bad idea, I
predictions,
think.
as
I
they
think that would
say.
be a bad idea. I'm sure he'll play very well. Do you know what? It feels like David Warner has been retiring for ages. Is that just me? Didn't he announce his retirement, or is he just announcing his retirement from every different format, just slowly, so he
Yeah,
can get
that's
as
what he's
much
doing.
attention as possible? Like he's really longing it out. I mean, yeah, fair play, good player, good batsman, but just hurry up and retire. Do you know what I mean?
That's an England fan talking right there. Doesn't want to see David Warner anymore, and I get that. Yeah, I understand that. But yeah, we'll see how the rest of David Warner's career comes along as well. What we do know is that he's been an absolute stalwart of the game, and it'll be fun to see how he goes along in these final couple of assignments. In other cricket news today, New Zealand, South Africa, the second test match kicked off. And I mean, this really young, inexperienced South African team did show a good fight on the first day of the second test after losing the first one. South Africa ended at 220 for six on day one of this test, with Ruan Disthort and Wanberg were the two players who stayed not out at the end, with pretty decent partnership after they were 150 for six. Yeah, Michael, one of your favorite young players, he scored a double 100 in the last game, and now Rachin Ravindra has taken three wickets. So a little bit more, another shout out to Rachin Ravindra today, doing it with bat and now with ball.
Yeah, he's just the man. He is the man, the myth, the legend. Also, 1.57 economy with three wickets.
Yes.
Not bad. I mean, look at South Africa's, the strike rate of their batters throughout their batting order is horrible. As a Baz Ball fan now, I could not sit and watch that. Like our mate David Bellingham, 39 off 102 balls. Hamza, 20 off 99. De Swart, I've never heard of him, 55 off 135. Like, come on, guys, speed it up a little bit. You know what I mean? It's a bit slow. It's a bit sluggish. But no, shout out to Rachin Ravindra. I'm sure he'll smash a double 100 as well. Carry on his top form.
Yeah, and Toby, good to see Neil Wagner as well. 15 overs, one for 28. I mean, look at him still going at this age.
I know. I was very surprised to see him in there. I was kind of expecting a similar look up for the Kiwi side, and then yeah, just pleasant surprise. I really like Neil Wagner. I think he's been a brilliant bowler for what, best part of a decade now. He's sort of
Yeah.
been in and around that side. He was absolutely unbelievable for a sort of 3 or 4 year period around sort of COVID. And yeah, he's a really weird kind of bowler because he's not very tall, he's not very fast, and he's not got much skill, or sort of not much natural skill with sort of, seam ability or swinging the ball. But he's played 63 test matches, has a bowling average of 27 and a half, has 250 wickets, and I think is in some ways the most of the best bowler and the most key bowler for New Zealand because he can bowl a ridiculous number of overs in a day. I remember he bowled, what was it, 30 overs in a day against England once with a broken toe, something crazy,
Yeah.
15 overs on the bounce. And yeah, I absolutely love him. I think he is the kind of perfect cricketer that sums up why cricket's such a good sport, because he's sort of not a brilliant athlete. He's not massive. He's not super fast. He's not got anything really about him. He looks like a normal guy. He's what, 5'10" maybe. Kind of just your average Kiwi bloke, or average South African bloke, really, born in Pretoria or something. Yeah. And he's arguably been one of the best bowlers in the world since he debuted back in 2012. 2012, yeah. And yeah, I absolutely love it. And I've always loved Neil Wagner. And I think he must be coming towards the end of his career, because he's 37, almost 38 now. And yeah, I mean, this could in theory be one of his final ever games, because New Zealand barely play any matches as well.
Yeah, absolutely brilliant work ethic, like you rightly mentioned. And I think one of the more underrated names in the world of fast bowling over the last few years, but he's been brilliant for New Zealand. We'll see how this test goes as well, and whether New Zealand will pile on more misery on this young South African team in this second test with guys like Rachin Ravindra, Kane Williamson, and so many others all in good form. We'll keep you updated with all of that as well, guys. I think that's that for today. Any final thoughts before we close this?
I'm going to make a bold prediction that you asked for earlier. I'm going to think, my bold prediction, Joe Root, player of the match up in the upcoming game. It's out there. The date is the 13th of the second, 2024. I'm dating it right now, so it can go on TikTok. It can be a Sports Gazette prediction. I'm calling it right now, Joe Root to be player of the match. And actually, another one, I'm going to go with India to win the T20 World Cup. Two bold predictions. I'm
Oh.
putting them out there. I'm putting them out there.
After all these heartbreaks in the final, I think Indian fans are going to love you for that prediction. And Joe Root, the newest, I would say, top three all-rounder in the world, maybe. But he could be the man of the match. Michael, any bold predictions on your side?
I'll go Zach Crawley, man of the match. Stick with my guy.
A bold
And
player,
I'll.
definitely.
Yeah, and I'll go T20 World Cup, England, obviously, because I haven't really thought about it. But that's there you go. Actually, I want another bold prediction. Ben Foulkes to take 3 wickets bowling.
I would
It's
absolutely love that.
gonna happen.
I'm really going to manifest this prediction of yours. I'm just going to send such good energy to that prediction so that it really comes true.
If that
It'd be a
comes true,
spectacle.
I want to know what turn of events leads to that coming true. That Ben Foulkes not only stops wicket keeping, but then takes the ball. It must be that I don't know, something goes through the England team. They have a dodgy curry or something, and they all end up struggling. Ben Foulkes is the only one who can walk, so everyone else is situated around the outfield, kind of sat in a puddle. Of mess, and he's the only one who's able to run in or something crazy like that. Don't rule out.
It would be more bizarre than even MS Dhoni taking the ball against England and almost getting Kevin Peterson out. I think that was one of the most bizarre things I've ever seen, but this could top it. And we'll see. We'll see. We'll hope that something really crazy like that happens. But until the next time, guys, thank you so much for joining us. The next week, we'll be bringing you a couple of episodes. We've been doing one a week recently, but we'll also be doing a special episode on the Women's Premier League. That starts next week, that starts next Friday, that is February the 23rd. And we'll be doing a preview episode for the WPL, hopefully with a special guest. And we'll keep you updated with that. And of course, a lot more India-England coverage as well. Until the next time, guys, thank you so much for joining us. Take care and enjoy the test match.